You're listening to Network Africa on the Weekend here on the BBC World Service. And now I go to my guest, who I'm sure is excited. Maybe his heart is pumping this morning more than usual. That's because later today sees the official launch of a journal that he is the editor of. It's called Kwani, and the man behind it is writer Binyavanga Wainanya. Welcome to Network Africa.
Thank you.
Now, your name may be familiar to people because you were a winner of the Kane Prize for Literature, weren't you?
Yes.
And that was for what publication? For what?
A story I wrote called Discovering Home several years ago.
So that was in 2002.
Yes.
So what was it about after winning the Kane Prize? Is it something then that prompted you to now bring out Kwani?
Yes. I mean, I had some prize money and you know, like I think like many people in my generation are just sick and tired of there not being things for us to read about ourselves with characters like us. And so we decided just to set this up and make it happen in just a mix of different writing, you know, urban mostly, and writing on Kenya and on Africa.
I mean, this is a book of over 400 pages.
Yes.
And it's got a mix of stories on fiction, non-fiction, political, some kind of political stories,
yes.
Commentaries,
yes.
Poetry. How would you describe it? Is a journal really sufficient to describe it?
it's a whole experience, I think. And we don't focus, for example, on big leaders, Kenyatta or anybody else. It's just usually the stories of ordinary people. A lot of fiction, a lot of non-fiction. We've done a love story running SMS, you know, people communicating via SMS and a whole, you know. And so we've got, you know, that whole mix. But it really reflects a sort of contemporary sort of city life in Africa now.
Okay, let's have a little taste of it now, because here is an extract of one article that I quite liked. It's called Blood and 100% Human Hair, and it's by Martin Mbugua Kimani.
Business in Kenyatta Market is conducted in hundreds of tiny stalls specializing in butchering, hair braiding and clothing. Each booth is run by a proprietor who visits the countryside every month, yearns to drive a Toyota Corolla and enters the green card lottery faithfully every year. The butcheries and hair stalls are arrayed along narrow passageways and are separated by a large square into which the main entrance leads. The furious pace of commerce never lets up. There is meat to be cut with brutal swings of a heavy axe, sold and then roasted so that its smell invades the braiding stalls to compete with the subtler scents of Movit hair pomade and burning braid ends. The butcheries are determined to export their effluent to the braiders. In the constricted passageways runs a thin, shallow, cemented trench that carries a hint of cow or goat blood and from which emanates a rotting smell. I notice that a throng of women accosts any female entering the market to induce her to patronize particular hair stalls. Most of those doing the advertising, though it appears more like a politely choreographed wrestling match, are brokers who receive a fee for every customer they procure for a stall. When not competing for a patron, they keep up a loud running commentary on foibles and scandals. Words are important to these women. They use them to secure an income and earn each broker a place in the hierarchy of their peculiar profession.
Indeed, that was an extract from Blood and 100% Human Hair by Martin Mbugua Kimani. And I have to say, it just brings a smile to my face, imagining those sometimes rather tough women who try and coerce people to, you know, have their hair down. Come, madam, come and have your hair.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
But, it sounds like you say this is Kenya, it's
yes.
Nairobi, but it could be anywhere. It could be Lagos, it could be Accra, it could be, you know. I mean, is that... Are you also trying to show people, both in and outside of the country, how familiar, you know, parts of our lives are to each other without us knowing it?
Yes, I've traveled quite a bit in Africa, and you keep finding the same things replicating themselves. We have so much in common, and sometimes we don't recognize it, you know. And especially our generation, there's been very little travel across, you know. So that's, you know, that's very much the idea.
But is it that you try to be a bit avant-garde in the way you've exposed young writers? Because even the text, even looking at the book, you know, it's, I mean, as I say, it's a heavy term here. The cover Kwame is in big kind of funky lettering, mm-hmm. and you've got guys wearing kind of 1970s gear.
Yeah.
They look like something out of a, I don't know, blaxploitation film on the cover.
What we find is that sort of keeping it unexpected, each issue is unexpected, and it just means that, you know, people are like, oh, what's that? Now, the thing was, people had become so cynical about what they were buying in bookshops, etc., that I think everyone had so many, not everyone, but a lot of people had closed their mind completely.
Mm.
So we were like, each time, put a surprise so that even somebody who hasn't picked up a book in a while will be like, what's that? What's it doing?
So it's like to reawaken.
So because we know once you've opened it and started browsing it, it'll work. But are you going to pick it up and open it, you know?
Okay, thanks. But you can tell us, Binyavanga, whether it's going to be available for people to open in streets in other parts of the world, not just in Nairobi.
It's available in Dar.
In Dar es Salaam?
It's available in Dar now and soon in Kampala and South Africa.
Okay.